Welcome to our show. I'm Bobby Elias, and the name of our show is Let's Create a Better World. Our second theme is healthy aging, which covers a lot of territory, because if you're 27 and a half or younger, well, you're still young. If you're not, if you're older than that, guess what? You're beginning the aging process. So a lot of people are covered in that area. Great show today. We've got a great guest, Carol Bartolotto. She is a registered dietitian. We're going to be talking about many people that are saying that GMOs are okay, and we have a lot of evidence and scientific research to prove that's not true. We're going to talk about the top five reasons to eat a plant-based diet with Carol. We're going to talk about GMOs and the latest studies, and we're going to talk about which foods to avoid. We're going to go back and forth on a lot of great subjects. Very interesting. She is a great dietitian with lots of research, information, and a great activist. Then we're going to have Frank, how do you pronounce that last name? Kosinov. He is the director of the Cancer Control Society. We're going to talk about worldwide efforts to inform people about the real ways that we can treat cancer, because there's a lot of great international people that are moving fast in that direction. Then at the end, if I have time, and I think I will, I'm going to talk about why alkaline water is good, and we're going to talk about aging a little bit. And our going out song will be by Donna Sumner on the radio. All right, let's begin with a couple more things. The next few weeks, our shows are going to include where's my list here? Anti-aging information, more nutrition, more on cleansing and stem cells. We're going to really get into it. At the end, I'll give you a full list, which I don't have in front of me. All right, let's get to our first guest, Carol Bartolotto. Hope I'm pronouncing it right. She is a nutritionist. Did I pronounce it right, Carol?
Yes.
Okay. And she's very involved in a lot of great work to research. And she, I consider her an activist. I don't know if she considers herself that. She's done a lot of activism work. So, Carol, let's get right into it. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great, always. This is a regular show that's getting more and more people's attention, and we're happy about that. Let's start off, if you could, please, say a little bit about yourself, but also the real basics, like GMO. We have a lot of new listeners and people that know a little bit about it, but give us a one-on-one on what are genetically modified foods. Go right ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, as you said, I'm a registered dietitian, work in the Los Angeles area, and also write quite a bit and blog and things. So what are GMOs? So basically, genetically stands for genetically modified organism, and what they are plants or animals that have their genes, the genes genetically altered in some way. But it's different from classical plant breeding in that it takes a piece of DNA from, let's say, a virus or a bacteria or even another species and inserts it either using a gene gun, that's probably the most common method, to insert that piece of gene into that plant or animal. So it is not a natural process. It's not something that would occur naturally through classical plant breeding. Additionally, the genetically modified organisms that have been created to date primarily are really so that you could either use more Roundup or herbicide on the plants, or so that they have their own internal pesticide. So like BT corn, for example, is actually registered as a pesticide because it has a pesticide right in it. So the biggies that we have right now are pesticide producing or herbicide tolerant. So there's really no benefit to the consumer. The biggest sources or the current crops that are genetically modified are corn, soy. Those are the biggies. Also canola, sugar beets, cotton, and then Hawaiian papaya and some zucchini and yellow crookneck squash, and then alfalfa, but that's fed to cattle and not to us. But unfortunately, from those kind of those commodity crops, they call them, then they make corn oil or high fructose corn syrup or canola oil or soy flour, and they put all these smaller ingredients into a bunch of processed foods. So we end up getting them in, I think they say it's anywhere, probably about 80% of processed foods contain some genetically modified ingredients.
That's great. For our listeners, I'm speaking to Carol Bartolotto, a registered dietitian. She's doing a lot of national research on genetically engineered foods. We're talking about what to eat, what not to eat, and we're going to get in deep into the whole issue. Carol, a lot of people are saying that that there are studies and they're saying that genetically engineered foods are okay, they're good, they're not bad, including a professor from UC Davis, University of California, Davis, Dr. Pamela Ronald. She says that they're safe. Now, that's kind of odd because she's married to a gardener. Could you elaborate on that and give us your reasons why these people are wrong or what they're saying, please?
Sure. So Pamela Ronald, and there's lots of them out there, different groups that go around saying they're safe. There's this blog called BioFortified and Roger Clemens, and there's lots of PhDs that say that they're safe. However, they're basing their claims of safety on animal studies. Well, first of all, some of the animal studies have found harm, but anytime any research scientist does a study and they find harm, then you have like 100 or more, or lots of, you know, biotech scientists and all these GMO proponents jumping all over them saying your science isn't valid, this is a crummy study, et cetera. And I find it hard to believe that every single study that finds harm from GMOs could have some flaw, and then every study that says they're safe is perfectly fine, especially when some of the toxicology protocols that are used by the one group are also used by the other. So a lot of the protocols are the same. So, you know, it's questionable whether or not these animal studies even prove that they're safe. But having said that, animal studies are not enough to show if something is safe in humans. And they'll throw out, we have all these studies, we have hundreds of studies, but they are only animal studies. And what we need to do are human studies, and that has not been done. And just to give you an example of why, as a dietitian, this is so prominent in my mind and maybe not so much in a biotech scientist, is because I follow research. So, for example, artificial sweeteners. They did animal studies. They found that, okay, you know, although some studies have found some harm or whatever, they put them in the food supply and in general say, yeah, the animal studies show that they're safe. But once they're in the food supply and they're labeled and we do observational studies, we find quite a different story. We find that they increase the risk of something called metabolic syndrome, which increases your risk of heart disease. We also find that they, you know, two diet sodas a day over 20 years decreases your kidney function by 30%. We also find that they increase the risk of diabetes. So that's why, you know, without human studies, without labeling and human studies, we really do not know what the long-term health effects are in humans. So all this, you know, talk and articles written saying that they're safe and that the scientific consensus is that they're safe is erroneous. It is not correct.
Yeah, this is great. You know, Carol, a lot of studies are just paid by the pharmaceutical industry, the food industry, big agro. excuse me, and they're just blatant lies. There were many studies years ago that protein, the only way you get protein is from animals. Also, the Coca-Cola was good for you. The Camel cigarettes and all cigarettes were good for you.
Right.
They're filtered, so they're okay for you. There's so many blatant lies by this huge, conglomerate corporation. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because you have to really look at who funded the study. And that's a really important point. Marion Nestle, she writes about the politics of food, and she talks about how it's very important to see who funded it, because if they have any ties to industry whatsoever, it makes that study biased. So understanding where the source is. Like years ago, there was a low-carb diet study, and it said that, you know, that the low-carb diet, which is primarily eating a lot of animal products, was more effective at weight loss than other diets. But when you looked at who funded it, it was funded by the Atkins Institute. And it was only a six-month study, and so 6 months probably isn't long enough to determine, you know, what the effects are on weight. So when the National Institutes of Health funded a study, they did a year-long study, and they found that there is really not much difference between the different diets. So knowing who funded it, knowing the length of the study, there are so many variables that impact how you determine if a study is effective. Having said that, a lot of the studies in animals with GMOs are what they call animal production studies, and that basically means, okay, we have this chicken, we fed it GMO corn, now we're going to slaughter it, and is it okay, is it healthy? But that's not telling us anything about what's happening. Like a lot of the studies that looked at animals and found harm or some abnormalities found, like, for example, kidney and liver changes in the cells. So an animal production study wouldn't give you any information about these subtle changes that are happening. And so we really, you know, I think the biggest concerns for me are with the GMOs are that we really don't know what the long-term health effects are. And the other big important thing that is so outrageous to me that this is even happening is that by the time we figure out, let's say we find out in 5 years that, oh, there's some problems, they're already out there in the environment, they have crossbred with other plants, and we are irreversibly changing the face of plant life. And there's no going back. So that's why, to me, it's very imminent that we take a step back and use what the European Union uses. It's called the precautionary principle. And it states that if something could potentially cause harm, you know, to us or the environment, that we should be even more cautious about it. And, for instance, I don't know if you ever read the article in Elle magazine. Her name was Caitlin, I don't remember her last name, but the article was called The Bad Seed, and she talked about how she developed an allergy to GMO corn, and after going from doctor to doctor, he told her, you have to avoid all corn, because even non-GMO corn is contaminated with GMO corn. So that's the big problem that I see, that just the contamination of other food and our inability to go back. That and the corporate control of the food supply. I mean, we basically have these multinational companies, you know, patenting seeds and controlling our food. And I think that's just, as a dietitian, that's not a good direction to be going in.
Carol, I admire the work you're doing. You've been a lot of studies. You've been involved in groups. We're going to talk about all that. And we're also, a treat for me would be, you're going to be talking a little later on this segment about the top five reasons to eat a plant-based diet. We're going to talk about what foods to avoid. Also, you know, I was introduced to you by Diana Reeves. She's our East Coast correspondent on GMOs. She's doing a boycott, as you probably know.
Right.
And I want to say this because she told me to be sure to tell everybody that to check her boycott information out on, I believe it's called GMO Free USA.
Right.com.
Is that right? GMOfreeUSA.com. It's a really updated website on a lot of materials that Diana and others are putting together. She has told me to be sure to tell people to boycott Gerber's, Kellogg's, and be sure to check that website out for more information on what to boycott. And she told me about your work, and that's why you're on the show, and I admire you so much for everything that you're doing. Let's get to the next study, and, well, about the foods. how to avoid foods, what to avoid and what can we eat and what can we not eat, if you could, please.
Well, one of the easier way to avoid GMOs is to not eat a lot of processed foods. So if you're eating whole, fresh foods, then it's a lot easier than if you're eating a lot of processed packaged or fast food or even restaurant foods. But as I said, the current crops are soy, corn, canola, sugar beets, cotton, and Hawaiian papaya. So buying organic and or is one big step, and then or using the non or looking for the non-GMO project verified seal. It's a little butterfly seal that you'll see on foods. Also, there are certain brands that make it easy to buy GMO-free because they source all their products to be made without them, and that's Trader Joe's, if there's a Trader Joe's in your area. All their Trader Joe's labeled foods, not all the foods they sell, but the labeled foods, and then Whole Foods Market 365 Daily Value, those are sourced to be free of GMOs. And so doing using those foods and buying organic, using whole foods. And then if you use oil, using like olive oil would probably be a better option just because olive oil or olives aren't genetically modified. And or if you use like canola oil, buying organic. And then if you do eat sugar, which I'm not a fan of because it's really not that great for you at all, but I would definitely use cane sugar instead of, if it just says sugar, it's probably GMO because it's made from sugar beets. So those are probably the biggies. Oh, and then also, you know, there's like, you can buy Hawaiian papaya, but that's going to be probably GMO. So there's Caribbean papaya, so that would be a way to get around it. And then when you go to restaurants, you know, trying to, it's tough, you know, in L.A., I'm lucky because we have a lot more options like Hugo's or Real Food Daily that don't use any GMOs. But in other places, you know, choosing salads and things, asking for olive oil dressing instead of a mixed dressing, you know, buying like vegetables or, you know, whatever protein source you buy and not getting, you know, asking them a lot of questions. The more we ask and request non-GMO, the easier it will be for us to get those products.
Now, Carol, what about people who live in the Midwest or out in the boondocks areas where they're not near a big city? What kind of recommendations can you have on what they can buy? I mean, I know farmers markets are great, and I know there are farmers that have a lot of great organic foods, but what would you tell people that are far away or not anywhere near a Whole Foods or Trader Joe's or any health stores?
Well, again, you know, and that's a great question, but, you know, choosing whole fresh foods, like, for example, instead of having a boxed mix or let's say you want a fast meal because a lot of people are busy, maybe you would have, like, cheese and crackers. Triscuits and Wheat Thins and all that stuff is going to have GMOs in it. So if you want a quick meal, have a salad. Use like olive oil and balsamic vinegar and put beans like kidney beans, garbanzo beans, or a piece of salmon, you know, if you eat animal products. That's my quick meal is a quick salad. So having not a lot of processed stuff. So when I say processed things, I mean like boxed and packaged goods, you know, crackers, cookies, cakes, rice mixes, you know, anything that comes in a box or a can that
right.
that the food manufacturers have put together. And even though it takes more time to cook things on your own, there are easy ways to do it. You can use quinoa and brown rice as a staple. You can cook it in advance so that you have it over several days. You can make large, I love making like a five bean chili, and then I even freeze some of it and have it later on, or a lentil soup or that kind of thing. So eating less of the processed stuff, not only will it help you avoid GMOs, it will improve your health because they add tons of sugar, tons of fat, tons of salt to all the processed stuff, which really isn't good for us anyway.
Yeah. Okay, that kind of leads us up to the next thing about reasons to eat a plant-based diet. But first, let me tell our listeners, I'm Bobby Elias. The name of our show is Let's Create a Better World. Our second theme is Healthy Aging, and I'm speaking with Carol Bartolotto. She's a registered dietitian and very involved in the whole research and scientific information on the GMOs. She's done a lot of great work. So let's get to our next question. Is you had on some of your work on the internet, you talked about the top five reasons to eat a plant-based diet. Could you elaborate on that, please?
Sure. And just for the listeners, I'm a contributor to the Huffington Post. So if you just Google Carol Bartolotto, you'll find that. And you'll find this article, Top 5 Reasons to Eat a Plant-Based Diet. And the top five reasons are, you know, it's good for your health. I mean, there's been multiple studies. Dr. Dean Ornish, found that he could reverse heart disease using a plant-based diet. The Adventist Health Study found that, you know, people that eat a plant-based diet have lower blood pressure, lower rates of type 2 diabetes. Now, having said that, that's if you're eating a healthy plant-based diet, because I do know a lot of vegans in the L.A. area who eat plant-based, but they do it for more animal rights reasons, and their diets are French fries, potato chips, and, you know, stuff like that that aren't necessarily healthy. So you want to eat a healthy plant-based diet. It makes it a lot easier to lose weight. And, you know, in the article, I highlight something that, you know, is kind of an eye-opener for a lot of people, but a quarter pounder with cheese, an order of fries, and a Coke has the same calories as a large salad with 3 cups of greens, 3 tablespoons of hummus, a half a cup of kidney beans, an entire cup of carrots, an entire cup of tomatoes, an entire cup of artichoke hearts, an entire cup of sugar snap peas, with some olive oil and balsamic vinegar, and for dessert, 2 apples, 2 bananas, and 2 cups of blueberries. The point being that nobody could ever eat all that food, so if you're eating a lot of plant foods, it makes it really easy to lose weight. It's good for the environment. It saves you money, and you're not supporting animal cruelty, which is important to me, you know, as well. Yes. As far as saving money, there's an interesting article in the New York Times that compared, everybody thinks of McDonald's as being so cheap, but a McDonald's meal for four is about $24. In L.A., it might be slightly cheaper, maybe $23. But you could eat, like, lentil soup, salad, sparkling mineral water, fruit, for a family of four for about $10. So eating a plant-based diet is also, you know, less expensive. So there's lots of really good reasons to eat more plant-based foods. And you can see that full article is called Top 5 Reasons to Eat a Plant-Based Diet on the Huffington Post. Also, you'll see other articles, like the article How to Avoid GMOs is on there, and several different articles about the background of GMOs and, you know, the science and what's happening to science, and like what happened to me with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. So you'll see many articles about GMOs on the Huffington Post.
Right. Excellent, excellent. You know, our next guest by our listeners will be Frank Cousinot. He is a director of the Cancer Control Society, which they're having a huge convention and health show going on this weekend, today, tomorrow, and Labor Day Monday. He'll be on the show for a few minutes in between a lot of his work over there at the health show. He'll be on in about 10 to 15 minutes after we finish the segment. Now, about foods, I want to give you my thoughts and our philosophy, not only for myself and for this radio station and this show. We talk about a plant-based diet. We talk about being a vegan. If you can't be a vegan, be a vegetarian. Also, eat a lot of raw foods. We tell people to eat beans, eat lots of berries, lots of fruits. And I really get into this thing about going to a farmer's market, because the foods there are picked that same day or the day before, which is a lot better than anything you'll find at any health or regular stores, because some of the fruits and vegetables have been sitting there for days, sometimes even more than a week or two. I've seen that. It's really bad. So let's talk about the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. You were a member of that group, and there was a problem there because two of the people had ties to GMO. Tell us the story about that, because I know you've written about that, and it's a very important issue. Go right ahead.
So I volunteered to be a part of a group to basically review the research for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and that's basically just like the group that supports and credentials registered dietitians. So, but the reason I wanted to be involved was the position papers that they create are often used by industry like Monsanto, et cetera, to say, oh, look, the academy with the dietitian says that they're safe. So I wanted to be on the group. And the minute I joined the group, I realized some very interesting things. One was that they only want to use human studies, which is very telling, considering that we don't have any, really. We have very few, like two that I know of. And the other interesting thing was the people on the panel, two of them had direct ties to Monsanto and other groups that use GMOs. One lady identified herself as a test farmer from Monsanto, and the other woman works for an organization called the International Food Information Council, which is an industry front group which takes money from these companies and then makes research, kind of spins research and makes it sound better. So I had some concerns that why are these people on this committee to review the evidence, because that is a conflict of interest. So when I asked this woman that was a project manager for the group, isn't that a conflict of interest? And then they went back and looked at all of our backgrounds. I ended up getting kicked off the committee, and these two ladies got to stay. So even though I had emailed them, and the reason they kicked me off was they said I had my own business and I didn't disclose it. Now, I do have a blog, and I do write for the Huffington Post, but I say that on my blog I talked about I'm available for this and that, but basically I work full-time. I had a father that was very ill at the time and with dementia and Alzheimer's, so I didn't have a business, and I was trying to explain that to them. They never even answered any of my emails. I emailed them multiple times. So I talked to the New York Times about it. So it was a big article and a big scandal for them because it demonstrates that the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics is biased towards industry. There was recently a report about them and how they take a lot of money from Coke and Pepsi and Monsanto, et cetera. And I don't think that's a good trend for them because the dietitians, I really think that we need to be free of influence from industry. So the reason I went to the New York Times is I wanted people to understand that a lot of the information that they're getting from these large groups, you know, which have to take money for one reason or another from food companies, is to understand so that people will understand the bias of these groups and of their position papers. And you know what? To this day, they've never come out with a position paper. So that's good, because I know what would happen was everybody would use these position papers to say, oh, look here, you know, like even Monsanto had, oh, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics says that they're safe, but they had to take it down because as of now, the Academy has no position. So it's a lot of the politics and things that are going on, that's what really drove me to get involved. Whether or not I'm an activist, I don't know that I would even call myself that, but I'm so concerned about it because what I see happening is wrong. And even like when I write an article, like the last article that I wrote, which is GMOs haven't been proven safe, you would not believe I was attacked, you know, on Twitter, sent nasty emails, on Facebook, on Twitter, you know, all over the place. Nasty comments put under my article. Even some biotech, some journalist that supports the biotech industry wrote about me. So it gets really, really ugly, and it's scary even. But I feel like I have to move forward and continue to do this work because what is happening is wrong. And we absolutely have a right to know what's in our food. I think being half Italian really makes me even more adamant about this, growing up with the Italians here, because food is incredibly important to Italian people. And, you know, and I just feel that as a dietitian and an Italian-American, you know, I want to know what I'm eating, as I think that most Americans want to know what they're eating. And we have a right, you know, basic
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes, we do. And, you know, I'm sure you know this, that there are over 60 countries around the world that demand that all GMO products are labeled.
Right.
Matter of fact, there's a number of four or five countries way up in the northern, above Europe, the Denmarks, the Hollands, the Swedens, and those countries, Finland. I'm not sure the exact ones. I'm working on getting that information, but they not only do not allow, they not just label products, they don't even allow them in the country, period. They don't allow Coca-Cola in the country because that's also devastatingly bad for your system. So I admire those people, and I admire the people around the world. The trouble in this country, and I want you to comment on this, people like the FDA and Big Pharma and the corporations, they just have full control. And those studies that we talked about, how they gear the studies and they just blatantly lie to get people to, and also the lies that they made when they beat us in California, in the state of Washington, we were on the edge of winning and it was close calls, but they, Monsanto lied about those things.
Oh, through their teeth.
And your comments on the FDA, the corporations, Big Pharma, and all these atrocious lies they're doing as we begin to finish up our segment.
Sure. I mean, I could talk for an hour about that because the FDA, you know, the FDA doesn't do studies. They rely on the industry. I also wrote an article in the Huffington Post about the FDA and how they're not protecting and promoting our health. But the interesting thing about the FDA, so with GMOs, they don't do studies. They have the food or the biotech companies send the studies to them, and then they do what's called a consultation. In the article I wrote about the FDA, what's fascinating is that, for instance, for food additives, food additives, 100% of the people on the panels to determine if a food additive is generally recognized as safe either work for the food companies or they are a consultant for the food companies. And that is outrageous. Why that is not on the front page of the New York Times is beyond me. In addition, the FDA, they've known for example, for 30 years that Tylenol causes liver failure. I'm also a professor at a university here in California. One of my students last semester had liver failure from Tylenol. So we have known for 30 years, but it took the FDA 30 years to tell the public that it could cause liver failure. And to this day, it's still easy to get liver failure from Tylenol because you might take four different products from that have Tylenol in it and not realize it. And the other thing, the FDA has allowed us to put, you know, antibiotics in chicken feed and animal feed, which is terrible because what it allows to happen, what it causes is for antibiotic resistance to develop. So the FDA should be saying, if we have a panel to determine if a food additive is safe, it needs to have unbiased people that aren't tied to industry. We should not be putting antibiotics in animal feeds. We should be clearly labeling things with Tylenol very largely and saying that this can cause liver failure. And then ironically, some things that can improve our health, like it sounds gross, but it's called fecal implants. And fecal implants are more effective at something called C. difficile, Clostridium difficile. It's basically a bacterial disease that people get when they're in the hospital and they've taken courses of antibiotics. So transferring feces from a family member that's healthy to these people is 90% effective. The antibiotic that they use is like 20% effective or less. It was somewhere around there. So what's interesting is the FDA is all worried about, you know, regulating feces, which is so powerful in curing C. difficile, and yet they could care less about antibiotics, GMOs, food additives. So the FDA is not out for our health. The FDA, I don't understand their perspective. Is it influenced by money or industry? But they're not looking out for our health. So I would never recommend, I tell my students, because in the books, the textbooks in the college, they say, oh, the FDA is reliable, you know, for a healthy source for nutrition information. No, they're not. They're biased.
I agree. Absolutely. Great, great information. You're just full of so much great information. And I advise our listeners to check out your blogs and all of your social media work. Can you give us your contact information? And please read slowly. And I'm encouraging people to get on there because your information is just so superb. Please.
Thanks. Well, you can find me, as I said, on Huffington Post by just typing in Carol and B-A-R-T-O-L-O-T-T-O as my last name. On Twitter, you can find me at C-A-B-A-R-T-O-L-O-T-T-O. So at C.A. Bartolotto. And then I'm also on Facebook, not as much, but if you Googled me, you'll find me on Facebook as well.
Excellent. Great. This is And I want you to stay in touch with me. If there's new developments coming on all these issues that we've talked about, one of the biggest things that we talk about on this show is the GMO issue, because it's so important. The food we eat and what we put in our bodies and what we can avoid, and the whole movement in this country to be like the rest of the world, 61 countries that are just not getting involved with GMOs. We've got about 2 minutes for you to give us your final thoughts. Anything else that we didn't talk about, or I want you to encourage our people any way you can about all these issues. Go right ahead, please.
Thanks. Well, I guess I would say, you know, overall, the more, you know, real food that you're eating, something that you recognize as something that grows out of the ground, whether it's fruits, vegetables, beans, nuts, seeds, those are the foods that you want to eat more of. And the more you do that, the better for the environment, the better, and choosing organic as much as you can. The more you do that, you know, the better for the environment, the better for you. Please help support any labeling campaign to label GMOs. And just one last thought is grow your own. Even if you live in an apartment, you can grow Swiss chard and tomatoes very easily in a pot. Yep. If you have a yard, grow, you know, Swiss chard, tomatoes. You know, there's even collard greens. You can grow Swiss chard and collard greens all year long. So growing your own is a great way to have fresh, healthy foods at your fingertips, minus the GMOs and the sugar and the fat and the salt.
Great, good information. You know, in Los Angeles, the city council, there's I know one of our guests has been on, David King. He's an organic master gardener, and he's over by Venice High School. He is, and a number of people are leading the charge to get the city council. We've got three city councilmen out of 15 in Los Angeles that are leading the charge on that law. You know something? What can you tell listeners about that movement that you know of?
Well, they're just basically trying to ban the growth of GMOs in L.A. County, which I think is fantastic. I mean, I hope that we get there. And, you know, there's been, as I was saying earlier, so much, you know, and just to let listeners know, Forbes is not a reputable place to get information. And a lot of people posting information about, you know, GMOs are safe, et cetera, et cetera. So please consider the source and understand how much money Monsanto is just working with Condé Nast, trying to put together this whole, you know, video program on YouTube and talking about GMOs. Just to let listeners know, Monsanto contacted me, wanted to fly me to St. Louis and help me understand the evidence. So that's how they're going after people, basically.
Great.
It's very strange, what's happening right now.
It's been great. I want to stay in touch with you on all these issues, because you're a wealth of information on what not to eat and all the newest studies and what's going on and how to contribute. Anyway, thanks so much for being on this show, and we'll be talking to you again.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, take care. Very good. Yeah, that was great. All that information. And also, for our listeners, check out GMOfreeUSA.com. This is a website that will tell you which foods are on the boycott list. There are many, many foods that are genetically engineered. You don't want to eat these foods. Your stuff is really bad. All right. I'm Bobby Elias. The name of the show is Let's Create a Better World. Our second theme, Healthy Aging. We've got some great shows coming up. We've got organic farming on how to grow your own food. We've got issues on worldwide movement on the environment, that doing health shows. We're going to talk about anti-aging and stem cells and more about the aging process. At the end of the show, if we have time, I think I will talk about alkaline water. There are so many things. Addictions, we're going to talk about addictions and what's happening with that. All right, let's get to our next guest, if he's online yet, Frank Cousineau. He is the director of the Cancer Control Society. He's only got a few minutes because he's in the middle of a big, huge national convention, actually international convention going on. Frank, are you there? Not there yet. Well, let's hope he gets there. If not, I'll give the information. This man is extremely busy. He's announcing, bringing on guests. Every half hour, they have a new guest coming on at the 42nd Annual Cancer Convention in by Universal Studios in North Hollywood, or Studio City. It's Universal City, it's called. That's right. It's its own city in itself. It's You go up the hill, and there's a big hotel called the Sheraton Universal, and they're having a Labor Day weekend today, tomorrow, and Monday. There'll be international scientists, doctors, and the like that are giving speaking on all the cancer issues. And it's a great, great convention. Let me see if our guest is there yet. Frank, are you there yet?
He hasn't called in yet.
He's not in yet?
No.
Could you call him, Martin? Let me give you his number. And I'm sure it's all right. His number is, his name is Frank, and his phone number is area 209-529-4697. If that's not a 7, it's a 3. I'm pretty sure it's a 7. Again, 209-529-4697 or 93. If you can give him a buzz and get him on, if possible. If not, I will give you information. Thank you. That's our engineer, great engineer in New York City. The offices of Progressive Radio Network are in New York City. Gary Null owns the station. Gary has his own show going on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday on this station. You can get it either prn.fm or you can get it on a phone number I'm going to give you right now, 712-432-7231. And this cancer convention going on. Also, until he comes, I'm going to give you ahead of time a little information on alkaline water. I'll start this, and as soon as he gets on, engineer, if you could let me know when he's on or just have him come right in. We're trying to get Frank Cosano. He's the International Director of Cancer Control Society. It's a great group doing a lot of great work. There is a lady that has been involved in the Cancer Control Society that was dying. She was told she had months to live, and with the help of alkaline water, she's alive and well. And this is a story of not just one person. There are numerous people that used, among the things to beat cancer, alkaline water is one of them. Another one is raw juices, vegetable juices, fruit juices, berries. These are the things you want to juice a lot. You want to avoid meat, avoid processed food, avoid all the bad things that we talk about all the time on this show, and eat a clean, clean diet. And stay positive-minded. Vitamin C, flax seeds, omega-3. These are things you should be taking. And you want to avoid cancer by juicing. Have you ever noticed that when people go to these great, great locations to pay huge money to beat off cancer, or if they've got cancer in stage 4, stage 5, they're at these clinics and they're paying enormous money? Well, I spoke with Charlotte Gerson, one of the greats in the Gerson Institute. Her father, Max Gerson, was one of the first pioneers of beating cancer with alternative health. And she told me, you don't have to go to a big, pay $6,500 that some people charge a week to be go through this ritual. Instead, you can just read her book, and she's got what step by step on what you can do on your own to beat cancer. And it goes with the things that I said, alkaline water, a lot of raw juices, lots of vegetables and fruits, a lot of liquids, water, vitamin C. And these things that I'm telling you will starve the cells in your body. And the cells, they have cancer in them. The way they can get rid of the cancer is by feeding them what I just said, a healthy diet. So my advice to listeners is, why not eat that way before you get cancer? Why not eat that way every day, your whole life? I do it. I use Gary Null's complete diet, and we're going to talk about that more and more on this show, and anti-aging. And this is the way to live. If our engineer is there, I guess you haven't been able to get a hold of him?
No, he hasn't picked up, and the second number is not active, but the first number that you gave me without the 3, it goes straight to voicemail.
Okay. That's fine. Well, if he does come in, just please interrupt me, and we'll get him on for 5 minutes. He's in the middle of a huge show.
Absolutely.
And I did tell him, in case he can't be on, I let him know ahead of time. Don't worry, I'll give you all the information about cancer. Frank Cosanova is the director of the biggest cancer control convention group in the world, and he is going international. The group is going international because there are scientists all over the world, Germany, all over Europe, up in the northern countries, in Sweden and Denmark, and those There are great, great scientists, China, the Asian countries, Latin America, in Mexico. Many people go to Tijuana. Many people go to Germany for these clinics that will help you cure cancer. But you want the easy way? There's several ways we can do it. There are a number of DVDs, and we're going to be talking about that in the next few weeks on our shows on anti-aging. We're going to talk about stem cells. We're going to talk about a diet and a way to prevent cancer, and a way, if you do have cancer, a diet that you can have to beat it off. I'll be meeting a lot of people this weekend because I'll be going to a big international health show, a cancer show, and I'm going to get some people, and we'll probably have on the show in the next few weeks. So hang with us. All right, let's talk about alkaline water. What is pH? pH stands for potential hydrogen, and that is a degree of concentration of 8 H ions in a substance or solution. On a physical level, the fast aging and disease process occurs when the pH level of our body becomes too low. That's pH, and your pH should be 7.2. Some people say 7.4. Most people, their pH is 5. Why? What is the opposite of alkaline water? It's acid, acidic. An acidic diet, acidic foods, acidic water. The waters that you drink, tap waters and even these waters you get in plastic bottles, are not good. Did you know that over half of all the plastic water companies that you find all over the United States come from, yeah, you guessed it, tap water? These crooks give you tap water, and they maybe put some flavor in it so it'll taste good. And, you know, in this country, people go for taste. You don't want to drink tap water. You don't want to drink water from plastic bottles. You want to stay away from plastic if possible. Put your water in glass. All right, so let's get back with your pH and your alkaline water. It's so important to have alkaline water. The pH being low is caused by an overdose of acidic diet consisting of fried foods, sweets, and carbonated drinks. It also, there's an increase of toxicity levels due to stress, as well as air and work-related pollution. You need to stay away from those things. Improper elimination and neutralization of acids. Stay away from acids. Drink alkaline water. There are movements and people that say you don't have to have it all the time. You can have it 50, 60% of the time. You can have other ionized or good distilled water along with that. The total healing of chronic illnesses can take place when and if our blood is restored to its normal, slightly alkaline pH. Don't forget, pH 7, pH 2. Now, pH 7.2 or pH 7.4, those are the ideal numbers that you should have. If you drink alkaline water, you'll reach those goals. And if you eat a healthy diet, you'll reach those goals. So be sure to do that. We will have a water expert on the show in the next few weeks because we're going more and more on this show towards health, more and more towards avoiding diseases, more and more towards living longer and longevity and a healthy lifestyle. All right, the total healing of chronic illness takes place when and if our blood is restored to its normal, slightly alkaline pH. So your blood is so important. The magnitude and meaning behind the research and technology is of incredible importance to all who care about their health, how to fight a disease and recover from an illness, or just consciously aware of your own body. And what this means is that low pH levels, and I'm talking about most people have a 5, will compromise the immune system. And within the environment of yeast, mold, and fungus, parasites will thrive. Yes, in many of you that are listening to the show, believe it or not, in your system right now is yeast, mold, fungus, and parasites. They're thriving. How do you knock them out? How do you beat them? Alkaline water, for one. A plant-based diet, as we talk about all the time. You need to have that. You want to live longer? You want to be healthy? You want to, or do you want to go and have to have a cane and barely able to walk and have to be limited to all these drugs that the pharmaceutical industry wants to give you and doctors, when you get old, that's all they do is give you. All right, so you want to avoid sicknesses and diseases that way. You want a long-lasting pH level, a high level. Your level can go as high as 9 or even 10. You want it, and this delivers toxic minerals, dissolved oxygen, which is OH- to our cells, and exactly what our body needs to perform as it designed, which is to heal itself. Alkaline water hydrates your body faster. Superhydration and detoxification is just so important. Let me look at our clock here and see how much time we have, because we have to finish this segment and go on to... So, also, alkaline water, stronger bones, and immune system are boosted. Powerful antioxidants. It increases dissolved oxygen and energy. It's a smooth, refreshing taste. A lot of people like taste. So when our body's pH is off balance, microbes in the blood can change the shape, mutate, and become pathogenic. Enzymes that are constructive can become destructive. Oxygen delivery to cells suffers. Organs of the body, like the brain and the heart, can become compromised. Mineral assimilation can be thrown off. Blood cells. Before drinking alkaline water, your blood cells are causing poor circulation, lack of oxygen, poor coagulation, and your closed cell membrane. After you have 20 minutes after you've drinking alkaline water, your blood is in good circulation. You have more oxygen in your system, and you have an efficient nutrient delivery. Your healthy cell membrane. This goes for your health all over your body. You need to have alkaline water. So let's finish up the show, and I want to thank all the great people who have been on the show, but first I want to let you know of the next few weeks of the show. More and more, this show is going into anti-aging, which is so important. Aging process is what's killing many, many people. And we need to avoid that. And you can avoid that by listening to the show. Again, Gary Noel wants us to talk about aging, and that's exactly what we're going to do more and more and more. Like I said, healthy aging is the second theme of the show. We're going to talk about that, about stem cells. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the environment, about gardening and your own foods. We're going to talk about anti-aging in every way, every facet, with Dr. Sarah Larson, with myself, possibly with Dr. Goldberg, Dr. Burton Goldberg in the Bay Area up north. He is the father of the health schools that's the first schools of nutrition, the first schools of medicine. Also, power aging, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about addictions, why and how people get addictions. Stem cells, which is very important. We're working on getting the best speakers that we can. So let's wrap up the show and have you call. The numbers to call for this show, the phone numbers to call if you don't have a laptop or are 712-432-7231. I'll give you my number if you want have questions or would like to talk about the show or ideas. My name is Bobby Elias, and my phone number is area 323-770-1925. Let's thank all of our special people. First, we want to thank Gary Noel for putting the station together. Progressive Radio Network is the fastest-growing station in the world. It's the fast-growing progressive station. The numbers are staggering. Every week we're getting people. There are 161 countries around the world that are listening to the show online or looking at the web pages of this show, Progressive Radio Network. I want to thank Jason, our New York, Progressive Radio Network director out of New York City. I want to thank our engineer, Martin. You heard him coming in the show just a minute ago, doing a great job. Thank the L.A. producer, Jimmy D., doing a lot of great work, and a workhorse doing an immense amount of research and information to prepare for these shows is Stuart Hassel, our associate producer. I want to thank our guest today. Carol Bartolotto, dietitian and researcher, and really into the whole movement to expose GMOs. And we're going to win this battle, by the way. I want to thank you, the listeners. My name is Bobby Elias. We're on every Saturday. So we're going to close out with a song called On the Radio by Donna Sumner. I got to meet Donna Sumner. I got to meet her, the guy that started Casa Nova Records and started promoting Diana. I met them together several times. He was doing a lot of work in entertainment, and so was I. He's a great, great guy, and he passed away, but he had a lot of great work. You know, one of the terrible things about all the great people that I've known, and you and I have heard about, the Michael Jacksons and the great people that have died because of drugs, so that's not a good lifestyle. We're trying to teach the right style on this show. So thank you, our engineer. You can go ahead and put that song on. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next week with another great show.